He broke off at a warning look from Harry, who knew George had been about to mention the Tri-Wizard winnings he had given them. "Now that we've got our OWLs," George said hastily. "I mean, do we really need any WTs? But we didn't think Mum could take us leaving school early, not on top of Percy turning out to be the world's biggest prat." "We're not going to waste our last year here, though," said Fred, looking affectionately around at the Great Hall. "We're going to use it to do a bit of market research, find out exactly what the average Hogwarts student requires from his joke shop, carefully evaluate the results of our research, and then produce the products to fit the demand." "But where are you going to get the gold to start a joke shop?" asked Hermione sceptically. "You're going to need all the ingredients and materials, and premises too, I suppose." Harry did not look at the twins. His face felt hot. He deliberately dropped his fork and dived down to retrieve it. He heard Fred say overhead, "Ask us no questions and we'll tell you no lies, Hermione." "Come on, George. If we get there early, we might be able to sell a few extendable ears before herbology." Harry emerged from under the table to see Fred and George walking away, each carrying a stack of toast. "What did that mean?" said Hermione, looking from Harry to Ron. "Ask us no questions. Does that mean they've already got some gold to start a joke shop?" "You know, I've been wondering about that," said Ron, his brow furrowed. "They bought me a new set of dress robes this summer, and I couldn't understand where they got the galleons." Harry decided it was time to steer the conversation out of these dangerous waters. "Do you reckon it's true this year's going to be really tough because of the exams?"
"Oh, yeah," said Ron. "Bound to be, isn't it? OWLs are really important, affect the jobs you can apply for and everything. We get career advice too later this year, Bill told me, so you can choose what NEWTs you want to do next year."
"Do you know what you want to do after Hogwarts?" Harry asked the other two as they left the Great Hall shortly afterward and set off toward their History of Magic classroom.
"Not really," said Ron slowly, "except, well..."
He looked slightly sheepish.
"What?"
Harry urged him.
"Well, it'd be cool to be an Auror," said Ron in an offhand voice.
"Yeah, it would," said Harry fervently.
"But they're like the elite," said Ron. "You've got to be really good. What about you, Hermione?" "I don't know," said Hermione. "I think I'd really like to do something worthwhile."
"An Auror's worthwhile," said Harry.
"Yes, it is, but it's not the only worthwhile thing," said Hermione thoughtfully. "I mean, if I could take SPEW further..."
Harry and Ron carefully avoided looking at each other. History of Magic was, by common consent, the most boring subject ever devised by wizard kind. Professor Binns, their ghost teacher, had a wheezy, droning voice that was almost guaranteed to cause severe drowsiness within 10 minutes. 5 in warm weather. He never varied the form of their lessons, but lectured them without pausing while they took notes, or, rather, gazed sleepily into space. Harry and Ron had so far managed to scrape passes in this subject only by copying Hermione's notes before exams. She alone seemed able to resist the soporific power of Binns's voice. Today they suffered an hour and a half's droning on the subject of giant wars. Harry heard just enough within the first 10 minutes to appreciate dimly that in another teacher's hands this subject might have been mildly interesting, but then his brain disengaged and he spent the remaining hour and 20 minutes playing hangman on a corner of his parchment with Ron, while Hermione shot them filthy looks out of the corner of her eye.